In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to consider now the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. The dating of that I have right here. It's November 10th this year. But before we do that, we're going to continue with our consideration of purity of heart, healing of heart. It is so precious when the one entrusted with the responsibility of preaching begins to experience spiritually himself the realities about which he is speaking. And so all of this section that I'm doing right now, you see, is how do we arrive at allowing the Lord to transform us, to give us a deeper interior life and an experiential contact with the realities that we have to preach about. So we're discussing one or two more, perhaps just one more, of this notion of the what happened at sin. We have all these great Athanasius, Maximus the Confessor, and then they're summed up by Father Larcher, an Orthodox theologian. And I'm going to read that one. The imaginings appear as the principal form taken by demonic suggestions which move a man to sin. You know, if somebody insults you during the day and you're going off to bed at night and you're reliving all of that, and I should have said, and I'm going to get this, you know, all of that is satanic. It is on possession, but it's using your imagination and memory to stir up sinful feelings and not allow you to forgive and get a night's sleep. So if the thoughts, the logismi, are often associated with imaginings in the ascetic literature, it is because the former, that is, the logismi, are reducible to imagination, since the thoughts often owe their origin to the imaginings. That's why custody of the heart, custody of the mind, practicing the presence of God, and eliminating those things when they come, and trying, as far as possible, to stay away from those things that suscitate those imaginings. The radio, not much, but some, especially in the car. Forget it. Pray. Or listen to some good literature. I listen to the Brothers Karamazov that way, Dostoevsky, which is huge. It was so gripping. I was listening and driving and sort of aware of the huge issues that he brings up, that every once in a while I'd go right by my turn off. I'd have to turn around and come back. So the former, that is, the demonic suggestions are reducible to these thoughts, because the thoughts owe their origin to these imaginings. Now, we're finally going to start with part two, on part two. That is, well, how do we get healed of all of this? And there are many texts. I'm going to quote one, I think, maybe two, and then start looking at some of the fathers of the church. This is Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. You see the importance of that text? We are baptized into his death, Paul tells us in Romans 6. That means we're baptized into that act of love in which he gave his life for us. And that act of love, which is such a pure movement toward the Father, you see, is radicated in us by the Holy Spirit. And now we have the power within us to take authority over all these aberrant drives, If we're baptized as children, there's a great advantage. If we're baptized as adults, the guilt of all our sin is taken away, but the habit patterns are there and have to be dealt with. You see? He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. So now we're going to start looking at the fruit of the passion of our Lord in our own interior life. I like this text very much. It's Matthew 8:16-17. That evening he brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. So he cast out the demons, he cured the sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases, once again from the servant song. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, this is after he'd called Mark to be a disciple, they're having a party. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard this, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. So anybody wants to be called by Jesus, step up over here and identify yourself with the sinners, which is only the truth. Okay. Now I'm going to look at some of these texts. We're now looking at the healing of the wound of sin, original sin, our own sin, the impact of the culture, nowadays especially, huh? Not only the neighbors and so forth, but the television, which is so full of violence and sexual aberration and so forth, impacting us. Okay. Only the Lord could heal the incurable wound with which we were stricken. That is why he came in person. For none of the ancients, neither the law nor the prophets, were able to provide a remedy. Only the Lord, by coming, healed the incurable wound of the soul. How did he do that? Plunging us into his death, which is baptism, so that we are identified and we have dwelling within us the crucified, risen Christ, and we call on that. That's what we mean by the power of the cross. The power of the cross is there in Christ, and we call on that when we're tempted, when we're struggling. And the Lord comes and puts those drives to death. Little by little, we get more authority over them. Here's another one now. After Moses, prophets were sent to cure Israel. But in their healing office, they lamented that they were not able to overcome the disease. So that one of them says, this is Micah, woe is me, for the godly man is perished out of the earth, and there is none that does right among men. And again, this is Hosea, they are all gone out of the way, they are all together became unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Again, cursing and stealing and adultery and murder are poured out upon the land. Like there's other texts I'm going to skip. Very great was the wound of man's nature, from the feet to the head, there was no soundless in it. He's paraphrasing Isaiah. None could apply mollifying ointment, neither oil nor bondages, which is from Isaiah. Then bewailing and wearying themselves, the prophets said, who shall give salvation out of Zion? And again, let your hand be upon the man of your right hand and upon the Son of Man whom you have made strong for yourself, so we will not retreat from you. Another of the prophets said, bow down the heavens, O Lord, and come down. The wounds of man's nature pass our healing. They slew your prophets, cast down your altars. This evil is irretrievable by us and needs you to retrieve it. So when we're having this argument with Protestants, you see, yes, the Lutherans went too far and probably stayed too far, some of them. The total corruption of human nature is not totally corrupt. It's just impossibly corrupt on our own power. And so now this text that we're reading now, you see, is is a long text I'm going to read now. It's from Cyril of Jerusalem. What is this? It's the healing that comes through the wounds of Christ. It heals our emotional life. It heals our physical life. The Lord heard the prayer of the prophets. I'm quoting now. From Cyril of Jerusalem. It's a baptismal catechesis. He sent forth his Son, the Lord, from heaven as healer. As one of the prophets says, the Lord whom you seek comes and shall suddenly come, from Malachi. From where? The Lord shall come to his own people, his temple, where you stoned him. Then another of the prophets, on hearing this, says to him, in speaking of the salvation of God, do you speak quietly? In preaching the good tidings of God's coming for salvation, do you speak in secret? Oh, do you who bring good tidings to Zion, get up onto a high mountain and speak to the cities of Judah. What am I to speak? The answer, behold our God. Behold, the Lord comes with strength. This is all, you see, these great saints and mystics seeing healing coming promised through the word of God, through the prophets. We're desperately sick. Our emotions are going all over the place. We can hardly stop from sinning. Luther is wrong. We're not intrinsically corrupted. But we need a lot of help. And that's what this whole thing about what we're doing right now, about healing the heart, that's why I'm doing it. The Israelites rejected salvation through me. I come to gather all nations and tongues. For he came to his own, and his own received him not. You come, and what do you bestow on the nations? I come to gather all nations, and I will leave on them a sign. For from my conflict upon the cross, I give to each of my soldiers a royal seal to bear upon his forehead. Another also of the prophets said, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Modifying the text a bit, but to get the point across. He came to heal us. The most common word in Greek for heal is sozin, which means to save. For his coming down from heaven was not known by man. That's Cyril of Jerusalem talking about baptism, which applies the beauty and power of the work of the Lord to us through baptism. So before applying the healing remedies to our heart, it would be helpful to point out some features of our Western culture that augment the disorder caused in us by the impulses or thoughts. They are movements of the soul toward realities of this world in a disordered way. And we'll take it up next time from there. We're talking now about healing. What is the healing? The healing is the power of the cross. We are baptized into his death. And therefore, we are joined with him in that act by which he died to sin once for all. The life he lived to God. So you too, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6 is the Magna Carta to understand how we are healed from sin and begin to live a life free of sin and get dedicated to God, and therefore able to preach the gospel.